Take your Bibles tonight and turn to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. Day and night, we're going to have an emphasis on Sunday for Easter. And tonight, we're going to talk the man that was crucified with Christ. We're going to be looking at Luke chapter 23, verses 32 through 43. And as we go in this passage, it says this. It says, "And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left." Now we know in other gospels that these were being crucified because they were thieves. Verse 34, "Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You know, that shows the love that God has for us. That shows the love of Jesus for us. And I hope that you know His love. And I hope that you bask in His love and you understand the size of it and the magnitude of it. And as we saw this morning, and the people stood beholding. "And the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God." Even in the agony of the cross, we see the public ridicule that was prophesied 1,000 years before. But it didn't deter Christ from his mission. Verse 36. "And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription was also written over him in the letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the king of the Jews." You know something, when you're talking about Christ, you have to speak the truth. No matter if you don't believe the truth, it's always the truth. And what's in the Bible is truth. Amen. It says, "And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." You know, that is the way that the world wants God to work. Get me out of my trouble so I go on with my life and be my own self. That is not the way God works. God wants a relationship. He wants us to have a loving relationship with Him and to have a loving relationship with others. And so we know one of the thieves basically said, "Hey, can you get us off the cross so we go back to the way we were?"
Yeah.
Right. Okay? Verse 41. "And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward. For this, but this man had done nothing." I forgot verse 40. So I'll go back to verse 40 here. Okay? "But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost thou not thou fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation?" Verse 41. "And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man had done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." You want God to remember you. You want God to have a relationship with you. And if you don't have one, you're in trouble. The Bible says in John chapter 3, you have the wrath of God abiding on you right now. In verse 43, these are words of hope. "And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." You know, we could be in the deepest, darkest problem with no way out, and Christ still has a promise of grace and mercy and deliverance. And so here is the passage. And so we're talking about, you know, Christ wasn't crucified by himself. There were two other men that were going through the exact same agony that he was going through. At 9 o'clock that morning, they nailed this man, cursing, fighting, screaming to his cross. You know, no one wants to die. No one wants to die. Okay? Not long afterwards, they broke his legs and hurled him into eternity, but we know that prophecy said they didn't break a single bone of Christ.
Amen.
In fact, everybody was surprised that Christ had already passed. You know why? Because Christ gave up his life. No one took it from him. He went straight to paradise. And here are some proof texts for a lot of bad doctrine out there in the world today. He was not baptized. He was not confirmed. He was not enrolled in any church. He confessed to no priest, but there were plenty of priests standing around. He did no penance. He had no claim for moral character. He did not ask the Virgin Mary to pray for him, even though she was present.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
He called on none of the saints. Mm-hmm. He cried on Christ.
Amen.
There's only one way to heaven,
Amen.
And that's Christ.
Amen.
There's only one way to go to eternity, and that's with Christ.
Amen.
He was a lost soul on his way to an imminent hell, and yes, there is a literal hell. When suddenly he flung his soul at Jesus' feet. As long as you have breath, it's never too late to cry out to God. He heard the gospel from Christ's enemies. Remember the placard? This is the King of the Jews. That's a true statement. You know the other thing that they are saying? He saved others. Why can't he save himself? They saw, they acknowledged the power of God there. And I'm sure that the thieves hanging on the cross knew that because they both asked, hey, one guy said, let's get out of this. The other one said, don't you understand what's going on here? And he turned in wondrous faith to Jesus. And he was saved instantly. There's no 12-step process. There's no going through classes and everything else to learn about Christ. The Holy Spirit moves in and you're saved. There's no second baptism. There's no speaking in tongues. There's none of this stuff. It happens the moment that you say, Jesus, forgive me, I'm a sinner. And come in my life. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross. You were buried and you rose again. And I call on you. And my Bible says this, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
And he was saved instantly, then and there, on the same grounds and in the same way anyone is saved. And if you're looking at all those other things that we just talked about, it's flawed. It's flawed. And he received immediate assurance of his salvation. Today, you're going to be with me in paradise. These things I have written on you that you may know that you have eternal life. So tonight I want to look at three things in this passage about the thief that was crucified with Christ got saved. First of all, he was a dying man. You know, we are all dying. The moment we get born, we're born to die. And the Bible says that it is appointed unto man what? Wants to die, and after this, the judgment. You know, at least this thief owned the legality of his sentence. Boy, you can't find that today in today's world. I didn't do it. Somebody else did it. Or I was forced into doing it. No, he realized. He says, we're in the same condemnation he's in. He's in the same condemnation we're in. We deserve what we got. You know, Proverbs chapter 5, verse 22 says, his own iniquities shall take the wicked himself. And he shall be holden with the cords of his sin. See, the legality of his sentence was death. For the wages of sin is death. You break one of God's commandments, you're going to die. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. He was a dying man. And he owned the legality of his sins. Folks, it's time to take responsibility for where we are spiritually.
That's right.
It's time for people to take responsibility for your own actions and understand that actions have consequences.
Yeah.
The second thing is this load of sin. He had gone through the same agony that Christ was going through on the cross. In Isaiah chapter 1 verse 4 says, "Ah, sinful nature, nation." Listen up, America. We're in the same boat that Israel was in thousands of years ago. A people what? Laden with iniquity. A seed of evildoers. Children that are what? Corrupters. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. You know, one thing is that we're all going to die one day. And the issue is, are you prepared for eternity?
That's right.
This man on the cross realized he was not prepared for eternity. He was facing something that he didn't want to face. Rightfully so. Justice was being served. Some would say, well, it's just not fair. Yeah, it is. For the wages of sin is death. There is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But you know something? As he was dying, he was a discerning man. He was a discerning man. He began to look at Jesus. How long will it take us, folks? I'm not talking about you. If you're looking at Jesus, great. But how many people basically come to Jesus when it's the last resort? When there's no other option available? Folks, that's not faith. That's a foxhole salvation. That's a foxhole coming. Because as soon as that problem's gone, back the same way again. But he was looking at Jesus. He told the other guy, I said, "Hey, get us off the cross, Christ." And instead of here in verse 40, he says, "But the other answered and rebuked him, saying, Dost thou not thou fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss." He became sin for us, the perfect Son of God. In John chapter 19, verse 14, there were a lot of people looking at Jesus that way, but not understanding what he was doing. I found this verse interesting. It says, "And it was the preparation of the Passover." You know, for thousands of years, the Jews have been celebrating the Passover. Each time that was pointing to the cross. The disciples, at the Last Supper, they were celebrating the Passover. It was pointing to what Christ was going to do. But look at this. It says, "In the preparation of Passover, in about the sixth hour, and he, Pilate, said unto the Jews, Behold your king." And we all know what the crowd said. "We have no king but Caesar." See, God's not going to do anything for you unless you're looking for him. God's not going to do anything for you unless you are looking in his perspective, on his terms, his ways, which are so much higher than our ways. So he became a discerning man. In verses 40 and 41, we see that he looked to Jesus. He understood what was going on there. And then the next thing is he listened to Jesus. He listened to the crowd. He listened to the truth that was being said. Oh, folks, there's truth in this church. There's truth in this word. Do we listen to it? You know, Christ said this in Mark chapter 4, verses 23 and 25. He says, "If any man have what? Ears to hear." I'm looking around tonight, and I see everybody in here have two ears. Yay! Great! Okay? But the issue is, are we using them? Are we listening to them? Because it says, if any man have ears to hear, what? Let him hear. It's time to stop listening to the world and start listening to God.
Amen.
It's time to start listening to the Holy Spirit. Verse 24. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And to you that hear shall be more given. You know, if you want God's blessing, you need to start listening to God. If this country wants God to intervene, it needs to turn back to God and bring and have revival. If this church wants to go forward for God, we need to listen to Him and heed what He says. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. What does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for a soul? So the thief on the cross, the one that's going to get saved, he was a dying man. He was dying just like that other guy. He's going through the same thing that Christ was going through. But on the cross, he came to his senses. You know, the prodigal son came to his senses. Peter came to his senses. All those came to their senses, and they finally figured out who God is. Tonight, let's figure out who God is. And as he was dying, and as he was discerning, he became a delivered man. The last verse of our passage says, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Oh, folks, do you need deliverance tonight? People come up when I'm doing that Saturday thing. They come up with all these problems in their lives. There are people that are bound and they need to be free. Some are locked in sinful habits. Some are locked in health problems. Some are locked in financial straits. Folks, Christ knows where we are. God knows where we are. He's going to meet our need. But my God will supply all your need according to His riches in glory. You know, one of the things is, He was a delivered man. He was a delivered man from the guilt. He was paying the consequence for his theft. But he was a delivered man from the guilt. In Psalm chapter 51, verses 13 through 14, David got caught. David got caught in immorality. He kind of came and woke up. And he said, God, you give me this other chance. I come back to you. Then will I teach transgressors thy way. You know, we've all been there, right? There's no temptation that overtake a man that's not what? Common to man. But God is faithful. You know, we've all been in these trials. But God's what? Faithful. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be what? Converted unto thee. You know, that's the whole purpose of relationships, bring people to Christ. Deliver me from what? Blood guiltiness, O God. Thou God of my salvation, then my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. You know, there are too many people tooting their own horn today. We need to proclaim Christ.
Amen.
We need to proclaim His righteousness. You know something? If it wasn't for Christ, we'd be in a whole bunch of trouble. We have no hope. We have no deliverance. And we'd all be on our way to hell. So he was a delivered man from the guilt. He was a delivered man from the world. Oh, we need that today. Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, talking about Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might what? Deliver us from this present evil world. But you know something? He's not going to deliver you unless you want it. He's not going to deliver you unless you ask him to. He's not going to deliver you until you believe.
Amen.
And you're not going to have, and you have to have the faith to do it. Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. So this man was delivered from guilt in an instant. This man was delivered from the world in an instant. He was departing. But most importantly, this man was delivered from hell. Psalm 86 verse 13 says, "For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell." See, that's, man, God didn't want mankind to go there. But we chose to disobey God. He made hell for the disobedient angels and for Satan. But if you don't know him, you'll suffer the same consequence. So this man was a dying man. He was a discerning man. And he was a delivered man. "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." If God took you tonight, took your life tonight, do you have the same promise? Do you have the same promise? One other thing is that that thief was changed. Okay? The other account of the crucifixion in Matthew chapter 27, verse 44 says, "The thieves also, which were crucified him, cast the same in their teeth." When this all started out, both of the thieves were cursing Christ. Both of the thieves were cursing the crowd. And one came to his senses. You know, the offer was for both. The offer was for both all those at the foot of the cross. The offer was for the Roman soldier that were casting lots for his vesture. The offer is for us tonight. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Oh, tonight, folks, do you have God's forgiveness? Do you have God's forgiveness? Do you know if you died right now, you go to heaven? If you don't know for sure, get that straight tonight. And Christian, let's let God deliver us. Amen? Let's live in His deliverance. And quit dabbling in the world and start following Him. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for your word. Father, we ask that now it not come back void, but that it does the purpose that you've intended for it to do. Father, someone here that needs to be saved, Lord, tonight I pray that they will cry out to you and get saved. Father, someone needs to repent, come back to you, Lord, and restore the relationship, Lord, that they had with you once before, that you restore that relationship. Father, help us, Lord, as a church, that we would leave this place, Lord, after this invitation, Lord, more like you. We thank you and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.